Let us start in a word of prayer.
Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness to us, that we are here once again, Lord, to study Thy Word, and may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher, and that we come to Thee with teachable hearts and inquiring minds, that we may learn precious wisdom and understanding from Thee, to do those things which delight in Thee, and to turn away from evil, and to seek after peace. We pray that Thou teach us, particularly in this lesson of grumbling and rebellion against You, in the life of Moses. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we are on to lesson 20, and it's taken from Numbers 11 and 12. If you have your Bible, I would advise you to turn to Numbers 11 and 12. And so the background is that the Israelites moved out of Sinai, and you see in this map, Sinai is right at the bottom, and they start moving out northeast, yeah, towards Canaan. The year was about 1445 BC, 1 year after they left Egypt. Now, this is a blow-up map. You can see Sinai right at the bottom there, and it's moving towards northeast, towards the first place of stopover is called Tabra. And you see it here. Tabra, immediately after Mount Sinai. And the Israelites complained loudly about their hardship, and the Lord heard it. This aroused the anger of the Lord, and fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed outskirts of the camp. The place was called Tabra, meaning burning. So let me read to you Numbers 1. Numbers 11, 1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, meaning that they are moving in the open towards Tabra, was hot, cold, exposed to the sun, exposed to the weather. They were tired, and they complained of their hardship loudly. So much so that they were heard by the Lord, and the Lord's anger was aroused. Yeah? And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So God actually sent down fire from heaven and burned them. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. So again, Moses interceded for the people, crying out to God to forgive the people for their complaining and unreasonable behavior. And God stopped the burning. And he called the name of the place Tabra, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Yeah. And the Israelites moved on, and they started lusting for food. Yeah. So let's read on. They started grumbling that they don't have meat. Numbers 11, 4 to 10. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." They complain they don't have fish, no cucumber, no garlic, no melons, which they had in Egypt. Now what they have? Manna. Can you imagine? And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. So what happened was that every man was crying out that they don't have fish, melon, leek, garlic that they had in Egypt. Every man, you read, every man in the door of his tent was crying out. Friends, do any of you cry out when you don't have a specific food? Do any of you in your house or in the kitchen say, where is my fish? And you start crying. No, we don't do that, right? I mean, even if I like a specific food, I'm not going to sit at home and cry. But you read here, every man was crying in their tents. Yeah? So that made Moses and the Lord very angry. Do they wish to go back to Egypt and have their fish and be a slave again? Sometimes we think they are unthinking, these people. They thought they remember their fish in Egypt. Did they remember that they were being tortured as slaves in Egypt? Are they willing to go back to Egypt and be tortured as slaves and enjoy their fish? So that is the thing that we think they are unreasonable and ungrateful. God has rescued them from slavery, from leading a tortured life, and from uncertainty in their life. Any moment they can die as a slave. Here, some hardship, they miss their favorite food, they want to go back to Egypt. So let us read on. Verse 11, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Why did you cause me to be burdened with these people? Are you not happy with me? Why have you burdened me with all these unreasonable, ungrateful Israelites? He asked the Lord, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Did I give birth to them? Should I carry them in my bosom, and suckle them as my child, and bring them to the promised land? They are not my children. Why am I so burdened by them? When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Where can I find all the meat, all the flesh to serve these people? And they weep, they cry out unto me. They want to eat meat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. 2 million people. Each family crying out for meat that they remembered in Egypt. And Moses was very burdened and depressed and miserable. How is he going to feed all these people with meat? And the Lord instructed Moses to bring 70 elders who would also bear part of Moses' burden for the people. So the Lord heard Moses' prayer. that he's very burdened, very oppressed by the people. And he asked Moses to bring 70 elders to be part of the ministering staff to help the people in their need. So let me just explain the word here, lasting. Because it is found in the scripture. They were lasting after meat, yeah? And the word lasting for food means craving or intense desire for specific food. We all have some desire for food. It's quite normal and human to like to eat certain kind of food. But here is connotes a different meaning. Lasting means craving, a desire, extreme intense desire. I think very few of us would have experienced this kind of emotional reaction, an intense desire for durian. An intense desire for your favorite food. You may think of having this seafood or this fruit in your mind, but seldom do we crave or have an intense desire. Yeah? But the Israelites were now described as having a lasting for these food. And the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall into the camp and all around it. Verse 31 to 35. So the people caught and killed the quail all that day and through the night and all the next day too. But as everyone began eating the meat, the anger of the Lord rose against the people and he killed large numbers of them with a plague. So the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, the place of the graves caused by lust. So you can see here, God Almighty sent quails, birds to the campsite. And the Israelites just caught all the birds and they ate and ate and ate. And God sent a plague. And many of the Israelites who were craving for meat died because of the plague. Okay? The Israelites then moved on to Hazeroth. So again, you look at this map. From Mount Sinai, they went to Taberah, where they complained of hardship very loudly. God sent fire. And then they moved on to Kibroth Hattaavah, complained of no food, no meat, craving intense desire to have meat. God sent quails and also a plague upon them. And now they move on to Hazeroth. Yeah? And the surprising thing is that you recall that in Mount Sinai, they were also punished very severely for worshipping the golden calf. So it was not like after Mount Sinai, they have traveled months and months later, they have forgotten all about the punishment of the golden calf, and now they are into their mischief again. It was just barely maybe a few days back or a couple of weeks back when they reached Taberah and Kibroth Hattaavah. And they still complain. And they still make mischief. And accuse Moses of bringing out them to the wilderness to die. Moses should have left them in Egypt. At least they can die with food in their stomach. Remember, They cry out to God in the first place to rescue them out of Sinai. They were dying in Sinai because they were tortured. And it was the grand scheme of the Pharaoh at that time to oppress them so that the numbers of the Hebrew people will die and reduced. Pharaoh was afraid of the multitude of the Jewish people growing, and he was afraid of their growing numbers. That oppression and slavery was the plan of Pharaoh to reduce their numbers. So they were, it was like genocide, getting rid of all the Jewish people. And they cried out to God to save them. God came, saved them, brought them out of Egypt. And now they complain, hardship, too hot in the sun, no water, no fresh fish, no leek, no cucumber. So that is the background, yeah, of the people, the Israelite people. So let us move on in this narrative. The Israelites move on to Hazeroth. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. The Lord judged Miriam. She became leprous because of her sin. So this is in Numbers 12, 1 to 2. Let me read to you. Verse 1 of chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So, ostensibly, Miriam and Aaron accused Moses of marrying an Ethiopian woman. Yeah? Not a Jewish woman. So, that's what Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses. And they said, "Have the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Have he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. So if you read second verse, the real reason is they were jealous, envious of Moses. They say, "Have the Lord only spoken by Moses? Did the Lord only speak through Moses? Is Moses the only authority? Doesn't the Lord also speak through us, Miriam and Aaron? So why should we listen to Moses? God also speaks to us." So they were very envious of Moses for being the spokesman for God. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So Moses was a very meek person. He is not given to aggression and boldness against other people, least of all his own sister, Miriam and Aaron. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron, and came and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. So the Lord heard Miriam's accusation that they should be treated equally with Moses. Yeah? And the Lord told Miriam and Aaron to come to the tabernacle. And the three of them came out, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. If there's a prophet among you, I will speak to that prophet in a vision and in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. I do not speak to Moses in a vision and in a dream." Yeah? "With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall behold. Therefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. So God told Miriam and Aaron, when I speak to Moses, it is not in dreams and vision. I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. Yeah? Aren't you afraid of him? He is so close to me that I converse to him face to face. He's not like any other prophet who I appear in visions and dreams. He's so close to me. I speak to him face to face. And yet you dare to say you are of equal status with my Moses. Have I spoken to you face to face, Aaron and Miriam? No. Moses was the only one God spoke to face to face. So God was very angry and spoke to Miriam that she was wrong. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So God was very angry with Miriam and Aaron, and God departed. And a cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Leprous is, as I know it, type of skin disease. And at that time, even now, there's no cure. Yeah? So God punished Miriam with leprosy. Now, Miriam was punished for her jealousy of Moses. So in this illustration, you see Miriam on the left, and she is stricken with leprosy. So what spiritual lessons do we learn from all this? There are three events. First event at Tabra. Second event at Kibroth Hattaavah. Third event at Hazeroth. Tabra, the people were moving and they felt the hardship. Yeah? It was a long journey, exposure to heat and cold, exhaustion. They were walking. And in those days, of course, I think the common way to travel is to walk. The wealthy may have carts and bullocks and animals to carry them on a journey. But the common people, most of them will walk. So it is common. Common to walk if you're traveling. And of course, when you walk, you're exposed to the sun and the heat. And they grumbled loudly. And God sent fire to burn them. So it is very curious, we ask ourselves, what sort of people will grumble loudly? If you're already saved from slavery, you're saved from certain death, because when they were at the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was pursuing behind them, going to kill them. In front of them was the Red Sea. If they go into the Red Sea, they will drown and surely die. Either way, they will die. And God saved them through the Red Sea. And now they are going through a journey to the Promised Land. They have just come out of Sinai and they were punished roundly by God for their rebellion, worshipping of the golden calf. And they will have learned a severe lesson. But yet, they complained loudly and grumbled. So God sent fire to burn them. It shows that they were ungrateful and they were in unbelief of God. God did so many things for them. Delivered them from certain death, taught them many things in Mount Sinai, and they in turn saw the glory of God in Mount Sinai. God's voice, loud and clear, telling them the Ten Commandments from the mountain. They were at the foot of the mountain. They heard God's voice. Yeah? They know that there is a God. And yet here, they complain loudly and grumble that there is hardship. So are we likewise ungrateful and have complained and grumbled about our own hardship? I think maybe I am one of the guilty ones. Ungrateful and complain and grumble. Yeah? God has been good. Yeah? I remember how God has healed us of past illnesses. For me, I'm counted as one of the many who has been healed of past illnesses. Not just one disease, but many. Yeah? From the catastrophic disease to the minor ailments. And yet, when I'm stricken by a tiny thorn in my flesh, some small issues, I cry out, why didn't God heal me of this tiny thorn in the flesh? Why? And I have to bear with it. But I remember, like I shared with you last week, how God has cured me of cancer. What is this tiny thorn in the flesh? So I remember and I praise and thank God, give all glory to Him. God has given us an income for our livelihood and support for the family. Yeah? God has blessed us with peaceful country, freedom of worship. In this time and age, we see countries facing wars and even in wars. Israel, Ukraine, and many other countries beating their battle drums, conflicts between superpowers, states in China and Russia. And things are not getting any better, but yet we are living in a peaceful, harmonious country like Singapore. Do we ever give thanks? In the freedom of worship, do we ever give thanks? Or we take all these things for granted? Like the Israelites, they take it for granted they must have meat, they must have cucumber, they must have leek, they must have garlic. They must not have the sun when they're traveling. They must not have the cold. They must have some comfort. But they forgot that God saved their lives. Certain death, if God didn't appear, for them to cross the Red Sea. So we must always remember how God resolved our troubles and conflicts in the past and give thanks and know that what we go through, our present hardship, so-called hardship, is nothing uncommon among men. So God rescued the Israelites from Egypt. It was His will to bring them back to Canaan through the route of the Exodus for a purpose. Therefore, they should bear the hardship of the journey. So, of course, if God wishes, He could, at the snap of His finger, transport the Israelites back to Canaan without going through the hardship of the Exodus route. But that was not God's will. God wanted to train them through hardship in the Exodus route. And so it is the same for us. Are we able to bear the present hardship? As we face the daily grind, we look up to God and seek God's deliverance and provision. And we know that God, that the daily grind and the hardship that we have in our daily life is what God wants us to go through. It is His will. Yeah? But He will not test us beyond our ability. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. All the tests, all the hardship that we go through, is common to men. Yeah? And God is faithful. He will not put you in a test which you are not able to bear. But with every temptation, He will make a way of escape for you. He may put troubles, conflicts, difficulties, tests in your life, whether it's illness, trouble, conflict in work, with your boss, colleagues, got into difficulty, relationship problem. It is from God to test you. Yeah? And He will make a way for you to escape. It is part of His will for us. So if you look at this illustration, all these mountaineering people, they are climbing the mountain. And God will make a way. That is God's test for them. And God will also help them, deliver them. Yeah. For your information, this illustration is from AI image, which I gave some prompting, and the AI generated this drawing for me. Praise the Lord. So we go on to craving at Kibroth Hatava. So after they complain of hardship in Taberah and God burned them with fire, they move on to Kibroth Hatava where they continue to complain that they are eating manna only. Only manna. And they have no meat. And they were complaining at the doorstep of the tent, every tent complaining. Can you imagine every tent? That's what scripture told us. And God was very angry and gave them quails. But while the meat was in their mouth, God struck them with a plague. Many died. So do we also crave? Do we also have this intense desire for certain food? Maybe not food. Huh? Intense desire to job hop for more pay. You're working and then somebody offer you a few $100 more, you move. Or maybe $100 more, you move. Yeah, job hop. But I'm not saying you cannot move on to another employment. That's not what I say. Yeah, if it's God's will and good for you, by all means, move on to a new employer. But job hopping is a different idea altogether, right? Job hop is just, you move very quickly. Yeah? At the spur of the moment, a small increase in your income, you move. Doubtful investments. Now, again, you hope to have a big windfall, and that investment promise you, it's going to double your capital in 1 year. Special investment, only meant for you. You see all this in your scam messages on the mobile. It's not uncommon. Promises that are too good to be true. Yeah, and you go for it because they promise double or triple your investments. Material goods. Craving for brand name bags, shoes, clothes. Again, I'm not saying that you can't buy brand name bags or shoes or clothing or accessories. So go right ahead. Yeah? But what I am talking about is a craving, an intense desire. Yeah? That is what the Bible is guarding us against. Yeah? A craving to eat without limit. So we should guard against craving for more. Yeah? Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. We covet because we see something which is we desire very much. Wow,
It's a new iPhone. I must get it at this very moment. New iPhone. And it has this feature, that feature. And you covet. And covetousness in Colossians 3:5 is also described as idolatry. And God detests idolatry. Right? So we come to Miriam and Aaron's rebellion against Moses at Hazeroth. Moses was appointed by God to lead the Israelites to Canaan. Miriam and Aaron challenged Moses' leadership. They claimed to be equal in authority with Moses. And God judged Miriam when she was struck with leprosy. And there's a little note here from Barnes' Notes on the Bible. Miriam was the instigator from the fact that her name stands conspicuously first in Numbers 12:1, and that the punishment fell on her alone. Because you know that that part of Scripture, there were two persons who accused Moses, Miriam and Aaron. But it was Miriam that was struck by leprosy, not Aaron. So, commentators say, in this case, Miriam was the instigator, and therefore God struck her with leprosy. But it doesn't mean that Aaron got away scot-free. He will meet his judgment later on. And God will speak of how Aaron was wrong in many instances. Nearer his death, later on in the scripture narrative. So Miriam had to be shut outside the camp for 7 days, and the Exodus journey was thus delayed. So similarly, we must not be envious or jealous. And many times we are given to envy and jealousy. We see our colleague promoted, and we say, look, he didn't do much. How is that he got promoted? Oh, he curry favored the boss. So he's promoted. He didn't do much. So that is the kind of envy and jealousy we fall into sometimes. We see someone getting better offer in the company, and we say, he's not as good as I. Why did he get it and I didn't get it? And it may be true. Yeah? Your colleague got it even though he's not good, not as good as you. But you just have to bear with it. So people placed in higher authority than us, spiritual and secular authority, people who are better than us, more successful, more popular, wealthier, and many of us are envious and jealous of these people. Is it right? I have every right to be jealous and envious because he should not be promoted. He's no good. I should be promoted. Or I should be given something better because of what I rendered to the company. All my service to the church, not recognized. I didn't get a single thing from them. I did this, I did that, I did that. Come for worship service, I was helping in the children's ministry, I was doing this and that. So many things I did. No word of encouragement, no word of appreciation.
So, what do you think? God is not unreasonable or unknowing that you have done many things. Sometimes you are put in such instances because these are the temptations, the tests from God. How do you react when you are not recognized for or rewarded according to your service? How do you react? Yeah, it's wrong for the boss not to recognize your contribution to the company. God will deal with the boss. But how do you react when you have not been recognized? Do you call out to the Lord and seek deliverance, knowing that envy and jealousy is a sin? And you cry out to God for deliverance from your own attitude of envy and jealousy, your own hatred of this person, the person who was promoted above you. You hate him. He's no good. He's promoted above you. You hate the boss. You hate people around you for not recognizing your service. God knows. And God sees our own reaction in our heart. How do we react with hatred, envy, jealousy? So we cry out to God to forgive us. Forgive us for our jealousy, envy, and hatred of other people. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. And we all go through this circumstances and emotional reaction. And this is the way God teach us in our life journey. And if we don't learn, we will go through many of such difficult trials in our life. You don't learn to stop your jealousy and hatred and envy, there will be many more lessons coming along in our lives to test you not to be envious, not to be jealous, not to hate. So we better learn now. So let us go to God in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson of how we can be ungrateful and inconsiderate of the many good things that Thou hast done for us. And yet we cry out, why have not Thou delivered us from minor ailments, troubles, conflicts, fears, uncertainty? But Lord, make us see, Lord, that how Thou hast delivered us through many troubles and storms in the past. And that we should come to Thee with grateful heart and exalting Thee on high, and glorifying Thee and testifying of Thy goodness to us. Truly, Lord, Thou hast been good to us. We thank Thee also that Thou hast not dealt with us as Thou hast dealt with the Israelites, Lord, with severe punishment. But Thou hast dealt with us lightly, as a father disciplines his child. So let us see all this as a guiding hand to discipline us, to direct us
according to thy loving kindness, to transform us, Lord, so that we will delight in thee and thou will delight in us. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.